May the words of my lips and the thoughts of our hearts be now and always acceptable to thee, O Lord, our Saviour. Amen. You might like to turn to the reading. It's on page 888. Probably quite a familiar story to some of us. Anyway, about a week ago it was that John said, I'm going away, would you like to preach? We're doing a short series on questions Jesus asked. That doesn't give you much choice, there are over 300 of them. I said yes, and I'll think about which question shall I ask. I'll do it tomorrow. But I woke up in the middle of the night dreaming. And I was dreaming about the woman at the well. That's not something that usually happens to me. So I can only assume that that's what Jesus wanted me to talk about. So I told John, and we both agreed there's no questions in this. So why? Well, there's no actual questions, but there are some implied questions. Now, 45 verses, I could spend probably 2-3 hours talking about this. Don't worry, I'm not going to. I'm just going to concentrate on the implied questions, although we will go through the whole thing. So, verses 1 to 4, Jesus is going to go from Jerusalem in Judea to Galilee. Jerusalem's in the south, Galilee is in the north, and there is a road that goes relatively straight northwards. And that's the route that Jesus took. It's not one that the Jews would normally take. Jews would, if they were going from Jerusalem to Galilee, would cross over the Jordan. Let me try and do it this way, your way around. They cross over the Jordan, go up the other side of the Jordan to Jericho, and then cross back. Why go the long way round? Well, Samaritans were descended from the Jews, but they had intermarried with all sorts of other people. So they were really only half Jewish. Therefore, they were fairly despised by both Jews, because they weren't Jewish, and everybody else, because they were half Jewish, and nobody liked the Jews. In fact, the Jews and Samaritan often had, well, let's just call it fights. But because they were half Jewish and were descended partly from the Jews, they still had a Jewish type religion. They still believed in the one God. But it had been bastardized. It wasn't the same as the Orthodox Jewish religion. They didn't worship in Jerusalem. I don't suppose they would have been allowed to. But they still had some. They still had that basic belief. And very much like quite a lot of religions today, it had been warped. So why would Jesus... human part of Jesus, a Jew, risk going through enemy territory? I think probably he knew he was going to meet somebody at Sychar and that something would happen. Sychar's about a third of the way up. So I don't think it was by chance. I think it was by choice. Verse 6, he's arrived at Sychar. It's taken him half a day to get there. It's now midday. He's tired and thirsty. And he comes to Jacob's well. But he hasn't got anything to draw water, to quench his thirst. But here comes the Samaritan woman. Midday, and she's come to draw water. That's a funny time to draw water. It's midday, it's the Middle East, it's hot. Why would she come at midday to draw water when everybody else, all the other women, had come in the morning when it's nice and cool? We'll find out. Verse 7 to 15, Jesus asks to give her water and then explains how he can supply living water. She's probably quite confused because she asks for him to give this living water so that she doesn't have to come back to the well. She's obviously not fully understood what Jesus has said. So in verse 16, Jesus tells her to fetch her husband. Why? Well, at first thought, this is a woman. Women were second-class citizens in those days, so she probably wouldn't understand, poor dear. No. Jesus had lots of women followers. Think, for example, of Mary and Martha. So why did he ask? Here we come to the first implied question. Jesus knew what this woman was. He knew why she'd come at midday and not with everybody else. Bring your husband. The implied question is, are you going to be truthful with me? Are you going to admit that you don't have a husband? That you've already had five husbands and you're living with somebody, a man, who isn't your husband? Ah, that's why she's come at midday. She's rejected by all the other women. So that's the first implied question. Are you going to tell me the truth? Are you going to be honest with me? Then in verses 19 to 26, he explains that he is the Messiah. The Samaritans are also looking for a Messiah, an anointed one, just the same as the Jews were. He explains that he is the Messiah, and he tells her what he's come to do, to reveal the Father, God the Father. Now comes the second implied question. Will you believe? Obviously, she did, because of what follows. Because here comes the third implied question. Will you share that belief? And she did. When the disciples came back, she went back into town and told everybody. I've just met somebody who knew all about me. And because she did that, the whole village of Sychar came out to meet this man who knew all about her. They wanted to see for themselves. So why is that all written down here? It's written down for our benefit as well. Because those same questions are asked of us. Will you be honest with me? Will you be honest with Jesus and with God? Will you confess where you've gone wrong? Where you've turned away from him? After all, he knows anyway. He told me everything about me. Remember 1 John 1 verse 8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. We cannot have a relationship with God unless we are honest with him. Second question. Will you believe that Jesus is the one who was sent to restore our relationship with God? The whole of the Old Testament tells us how God made a perfect world, and then right from Adam and Eve, it was broken, and it is still broken. Despite what God showed us in the Old Testament of what he wants us to be and to do, we still don't do it. So will you believe that Jesus came to become sin for us, to take the punishment that we deserve for turning our backs on God and not doing what he wants? Will you believe that he did that so that he could restore to us our relationship with God? Will you believe? The third implied question. Will you realize that this truth is too good not to share? Verse 37, one sows, another reaps. We are called to sow in order that the Holy Spirit can do his work in other people. Home groups are currently working through how to do this. So if you're in a home group, I'm sorry, I'm talking to the converted, I hope. If you're not in a home group, find somebody who is, talk to them. You'll learn, and it'll be really good practice for those who are in a house group. And sharing doesn't have to be the whole nine yards. None of us is a John Wigmore. None of us knows it all. But we all know something. So we can all share something. Let's pray. Father, you know how difficult it is for us to be honest with you. How easy it is for us to ignore what we do wrong. How easy it is to turn away from you. So we ask that you send your Holy Spirit to help us turn back and stay facing you. Help us to maintain the faith, to be always remembering what Jesus has done for us. Help us to see when you give us the opportunity to share the good news of Jesus. Give us the words that you want us to speak to those who do not believe. In order that your name may be glorified, we ask this through Jesus, our Saviour. Amen. Amen.